Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Please don't do it. Just do the backup singing. That's it.
Hey, baby.
Please don't.
My name is Travis. What's your phone number, baby? You have my baby.
Means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Means a lot to me, baby.
Is there anything more precious on the planet?
There's nothing more precious than you, baby. Come over here and let me whisper in your ear, baby.
You're married, but you guys could be family.
I don't want you to have no doubts, baby.
Don't question.
You can always count on Trap J and Joe to bring you the best show on the radio.
Oh my God, look what you did there with the flow.
Believe in us, baby. 97.5. We're never far apart from your radio station, baby. You and I, Joe.
We knew it from the start.
We was good.
Yeah.
The day we met.
Yep. In a strictly platonic way.
Strictly platonic.
It's a dream that became a reality.
I have nothing to add. I'm just going to enjoy this.
Forever.
We really need video.
It's like a dream.
Baby, right, I'm so dreaming.
We both are big fans of Joe. To see Nick.
That was for Dr. Dre on 290.
For Bill and Monica.
And Bill and Monica, yeah.
Yeah, this one goes out to all those great people that are a big part of the show.
Yeah, no question.
So we were talking about...
Great job, Nick.
As Yo Adrian said, baby making music. And in my heyday... Can't argue. That was the go-to CD. Jodeci had phenomenal songs. But again, that was the kind of R&B moaning. You know? They do it at the start of songs. Yeah. Keith Sweat did it throughout songs.
Or Casey and JoJo. Ooh, yeah!
Casey and JoJo did it with,
I like
with
the Keith
Lately.
Sweat reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my very first album I ever purchased.
And think about it. We were talking about in the break. Keith Sweat was another one of those.
The very first CD I ever bought.
Johnny Gill did it. They were big on doing a lot of moaning and groaning throughout the song.
They used to beg and moan and whine for that thing. Yep. Yeah. Hey, matter of fact, when we come back from the break, Nick, can we get some Keith Sweat?
Yeah, I got know, you covered on that.
Because you got an intricate knowledge of the Sweat Man. You know what I mean? Yep. So I'm going to let you put him on there because that was your first album. What was your first album you ever bought?
Ever bought?
Yeah.
See, the first concert I ever saw was Kool and the Gang and the Daz Band. First album I ever bought. I had albums bought for me by my sisters, but it was primarily because they wanted to steal them.
Yeah.
So they would buy them for me like a Christmas or birthday, and then they'd just take them.
Yeah.
So that was like Billy Joel and albums like that. But the first one that I ever bought, because like back in the day, I know like in college, I had Houdini.
Yeah.
That was like a go-to. All of Luther's stuff was all go-to. I don't even know what my first album would be.
My first one was the Chronic. It was the tape.
The cassette?
The cassette tape.
I go all the way back to albums.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
My first one. I remember my cousin was like, man, we going to get the Chronic. And she took us over there and bought it. I think it was $5. It might have been $5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was, I played that sucker till it fell apart, man. But my parents didn't know I had it. So I used to have to put it in the boom box late at night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And listen to it. Oh, it was awesome.
Back in college when you had the two decks.
Yeah.
And you'd set one up to Jodeci right into Luther or something like that. You'd be like, oh, man, you got it. It's all taken.
Or when you make a little mixtape for your girl.
Yeah, Yo Adrian just said you put that on a mixtape for your girl.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
We had a get ready CD. When me and Brian McFadden got to school, B-Mac had this CD we called the Get Ready CD. So you put that thing on, and boy, was it a dropper. I'm trying to tell you, it was awesome.
So there you got that. And you know what? It's a can of worms I'm not sure I want to open up. But if you want to and you want to talk about your go-to back in the day. But Jodeci, for me, like I said, I saw him in concert 10 times. That was like That was like one of the best. And a lot of Luther. I loved a lot of the I had all the Luther. And Luther was unsung because he got a little bit more hip with the R&B later on than just all the love ballads.
Oh, no question. Luther was Big Luther, Little Luther.
Power of Love was
Carol
upbeat.
Quite Not Right Luther. He was everything was
all
right. Great.
Well, with all that being said, you guys can chime in on that if you want. You've been doing a good job on Twitter. But Aaron's been waiting a while, and he wants to talk about coaching GM.
What up, guys? How's Hot it going? Seat.
What's up, man?
Hey, I just got to say, man, Rick Smith should have lost his job after the last 2-14 seasons. I know Gary Kubiak was falling apart physically, and Matt Schaub, you know, a couple bad passes, you know, a couple pick sixes. He should have lost his job then. And then you talk about conflict of interest between Jeff Fisher and L.A. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Rick Smith like Bob McNair's grandson's godfather or something like that?
Bob.
There's conflict of interest in there, and just the guy doesn't know how to draft. I mean, when you spend a third-round pick on someone like Sam Montgomery,
yeah, you just Aaron, you just hit it on the head. The thing that Travis and I highlighted about a month ago that I was very hot on, which was all the failed draft picks. I mean, you can go back and forth on Suofilo versus Carr. You can go, you know, you can go. The big thing to me was the Montgomery draft when you had your 3, 4, and 5 draft picks all cut because they were smoking weed on a road trip. And you look back at the history of his draft prowess and you look at the success. Not only were they not on the Texans roster, in a lot of cases, they weren't on anybody's roster. You know, your boy from Miami, Rock Carmichael.
Yeah.
Guys like that. I mean, high draft picks where they better at least be contributors on special teams and on the depth chart. That just were falling off the wayside left and right and weren't even lasting on another team. That's the kind of stuff that really kind of sealed it for me, regardless of what they did in free agency or didn't do in free agency and what they did with the quarterback position. That's the stuff that really irks me.
Well, I mean, like I keep telling folks, we want to keep bringing up old stuff and bringing up all the – we can do that all day long as far as
– And I'm not trying to do that.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
I mean, Aaron, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks for chiming in.
I mean, end of the day is – that's water under the bridge now. So we can only judge them on now.
But you can judge them on the freshwater, which
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you can judge, you, the, you, how, you can judge them on now.
We don't know what the exact pecking order is.
No.
But we have to assume he had his hand in the cookie jar along with Bill and maybe Bob in terms of picking Brock Osweiler.
Well, and if Bob decided that, then that's the be-all, end-all. I mean, Bob can't
right.
fire Bob.
We don't know. But so, we also know, and I've said over and over again, half tongue-in-cheek, is he's got a seat at their Thanksgiving table. And yeah. He's got a Thanksgiving and a spot at their – he's got presents under the tree at Christmas. He is a McNair.
Yeah, of course.
And, so that helps you.
And why wouldn't it? I mean, I wish I was a McNair. I mean, can I add McNair on the back of my Johnson? I would have loved. I mean, no, that doesn't sound
whoa,
right.
Good but can Lord. And on that note alone, that, as Nick tries to get that sound bite right. for the blooper reel, whatever you put on your Johnson is not something we need to talk about on air.
That didn't sound right. But, I mean, I wish I could hyphen and be like Travis Johnson McNair or Travis McNair Johnson. I wouldn't mind that. I mean, it might come with a lot of perks.
I would tend to believe it would.
Yeah, and so I can't knock him for being a part of the family. You know what I mean? That's one thing, and you just can't do it.
But I think from a fan base, they can knock what they know. And well, what they know is, regardless of what they know about how deep he is in the family, his track record hasn't been great. Let me put it that way. Fair?
No, I can't put that on to say his track record as a whole hasn't been great.
Well, but
he's made some great decisions and he's made some bad decisions.
Okay,
I'm just saying it can be both of them, right or wrong.
Man, you and Keenan have like 180'd on me from a few weeks ago.
But no, I've never said you can't. I've always said from day one you can't put it directly on him.
Remember when I brought up all the drafts successively?
Yeah, we bought all of that up.
We went all
and the same thing I said was it's still an inexact science. We can go through everybody's draft like that, and now we got to say if we do that, we say, okay, is this GM? Is it? Do we fire this GM? Do we fire the GM at for the Giants? Do we fire the Jaguars GM? Do we fire this guy? Do we can go down the list on each one of those places.
I don't want anybody losing their job. I feel bad for that. You know, at the same time, though, from a realist perspective, you are brought in to do a certain job. and you're over personnel. And when the personnel isn't performing or it goes to
technically he's not over personnel. Technically, the director of pro personnel is over personnel.
Well, he's drafting them.
Yeah, director of pro personnel. Rick's
drafting.
They all have a say-so. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying it's a lot going on into the decision-making.
Well, you all have a say-so, too, in our show, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4.
Can I add McNair on the back of my Johnson?
If that's what you want to do, then you go ahead and do that in your spare time, but in your private time. But if you want to join the show, it's where we keep our flow. And make sure that everybody's happy and content. You join the show by 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-ESPN. Or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
You got me twisted up.
My man had the big overbite, too. I mean, like, in a rainstorm, you could hide under the overbite of Keith Sweat's teeth.
I think those were just the veneers. Dry.
That's part of why he was grunting all the time.
Yeah. What?
All right, so we talked a little bit. We talked Texans. We talked about the cheap shots in the NFL.
Or the cheap shots in the NBA.
Yeah, let's get to that a little bit. I was put in the middle of a situation with a friend of mine, Demo, and the situation going on at the Big Sequoia.
Who's Demo? Who's Demo for all those people who don't know?
Donatus Monty Unis. Okay. A free agent that had played with the Rockets, and you've been living under a rock in Houston if you don't know who Demo is. You know, some people don't like it when I talk about Wisconsin and the Badgers and everything else, and we've said we keep it real, and we know who everybody wants to win in Houston, but part of being a national show on a local level is we try and keep it real with honesty and also our loyalties. And I have a background with the Rockets. Demo is a great dude, and we keep in contact all the time. And he signed an offer sheet with the Nets last week, only to have it matched by the Rockets, only to have Demo and his agent, B.J. Armstrong, decide they weren't going to show up because there was incentives and clauses that were easily attainable if he had stayed with the Nets that he was going to lose out on if he went to the Rockets in the value of about $6 million. So after his mini holdout and his refusal to go to take the physical, they got together and both sides agreed on a new deal, and all Demo had to do was pass the physical. Demo took that physical, assumed that there were no problems because he had passed his physical with the Nets, showed up at the Toyota Center on Saturday night in front of the Rockets-Mavs game, and was going to work out when he was informed that he can't work out because he did not pass the physical. He then went home and started texting with me, and we talked about the fact that he wanted the word out there that this wasn't right. It wasn't a good deal. It wasn't the right situation, that he doesn't want the wrong word getting out. He said it wasn't a medical issue. He said that the team has the ability to do things. He was not happy. He was hurt. And we go back to the fact that this was a guy who was told he wasn't going to be traded at the trade deadline last year, according to him, then traded, which broke his heart because he loved Houston and he loved the fans and he loved being here. Only to have the Pistons fail him in his physical so that the Rockets had to take him back, a la Matt Bullard and Robert Horry back in the day when they were traded for Sean Elliott and then had to come back. That was enough for him to say, look, I'll finish out the season, but I'm probably looking for a fresh start somewhere else. But because he was a restricted free agent and the Rockets controlled his rights, he had to get the right situation with the right team, and then it was either going to have to be a deal that had to be worked out and reached with the Rockets, or the Rockets could match, and he just had to nut up and realize that, hey, at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yes.
I'm going to get my money, and I got to show up and play. So essentially, that's what he was ready to do. He was ready to show up and play. He took his physical. He was ready to work out and get right to work as quick as possible so he could help his team. And it didn't work out. So we as a station actually went to the Rockets to ask if they had a response to Demo's tweets, which, by the way, he liked, retweeted, and verified on Twitter that he was tagged in, that he agreed 100% with everything I put out there. So it wasn't like I was trying to be Mark Berman or anything. He just wanted the word out there about what was going on because there were so many questions. In that being said, the Rockets released a statement to ESPN later that night, ESPN National. They declined comment with us locally and basically just said, look, you know, we still are looking into the physical and, you know, and seeing, you know, what's going to what can be done. They're still at a stalemate. I talked to him today.
It sounds like the Rockets are over trying to do cleanup duty and not really on a stalemate. I mean, here's my only question I have is Demo got the offer from the Nets.
Correct.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rockets had 48 hours to max that offer.
It's like 3 days.
Three days to max that offer. Mm-hmm. Well, why is it that if I max the offer, it just has to be the number and not all the language? Because that's
it's an interesting question because of the fact that both sides had issues with the way it was written if he was to come back to the Rockets. It was perfect for him if he stayed with the Nets because he would have gotten a lot of playing time on a bad team, and there was $6 million in incentives that he would have easily attained with the Nets that he was worried about with the Rockets.
So here's the thing. If you don't have that involved, then you know you did not max my deal. So if you didn't match my deal, I'm going to go over here with the Nets. I mean, to me, it's the Rockets have literally opened themselves up for a lawsuit because had it been anybody else, the lawsuit's already been filed. I promise you, they're trying to keep it quiet.
I guarantee the Players Association is involved.
Yeah, because they're trying to squash this situation because once the PA gets involved, money's going to change hands regardless. Demo's going to get his cash because you just screwed this man's life. Over your ego, over your pride, and saying he wouldn't come back because he didn't like this. No, you didn't match this offer the way it's supposed to be matched.
Now, the other interesting part of this is both sides had issue with the offer sheet because of the fact that Demo wanted the $6 million that he was going to be losing in incentives or possibly losing. The Rockets wanted the ability to have flexibility with his contract, which meant instead of in the contract, depending on what you read, the report came out that in the contract. If he was still on the Rockets roster this year after March 1st, then the second year of the contract was guaranteed. And you know that they are very cap flexible and cap friendly to where they don't want to be bogged down if they don't have to be. So they didn't like that. So, they also didn't like the fact that once the deal was signed and consummated and done and the physical was over, that it was a 2-year guarantee and there was no trade where the league rules state you can't trade them for a year. Upon the completion of that deal, they wanted an out before this year's trade deadline. Should, as we all know, you know, as much as he says publicly, players are more like assets these days.
Yeah,
in the big Sequoia.
But right now, that to me is Daryl Morey and what's the owner's name?
Les Alexander.
They're a bunch of freaking idiots. Not just idiots, but they're like literally. This is the worst thing. I've been around this league for a while. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. This is the worst business. This is bad business. It's bad etiquette. It's bad for everything in the game to literally, like, you can't do this to people. You cannot
well,
say.
Well, it sets a dangerous precedent for players that are going to look at Houston.
They're not coming here anymore.
You look at their track record previously. You look at the fact that in a lot of people's mind, as much as there's a lot of denial, that they look at players as assets. Chandler Parsons was a big one that was talking all the time about the fact that, you know, they're looked at a certain way and it's more like assets. He would actually sit there and basically point out to Dwight Howard and others,
unless the Rockets start offering $10 million more than other places, nobody will come here anymore. Why would you come here?
It's a pretty bold statement.
Why would you come here if you know they're going to...
Well, there's no state tax.
They don't treat the stars like that. James Harden. They're going to get
paid. James Harden, no state tax. They're playing, and they're playing out of their mind right now. So, I mean, there are... And Houston. So there's a lot of warm weather. There's a lot of things why you would come here, but I understand what you're saying. They're going to look long and hard. And look, agents are going to talk amongst agents. Players are going to talk amongst players, as we were talking about. The word's going to get out. And I give you Exhibit A being the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Pat Riley was always a player's guy, right? He was going to go above and beyond to take care of his players. He took care of LeBron when he was in Miami, but the first time that he realized LeBron was going elsewhere, he started selling him down the road. The whole Phil Jackson story gets out with the posse comment only because Pat Riley was publicizing how LeBron wanted he and his guys to be able to stay overnight in Cleveland after the Heat played there instead of flying back on the team charter. That was a point of contention. Then the whole Dwayne Wade thing where he said time and time again, Dwayne Wade is a Heat member that's going to be a member of the Heat for the rest of his life. And then he lets Dwayne Wade get away. He now has a totally different perception, both publicly with the fans of the Heat, but more importantly, with free agents, players, and agents looking at the Miami Heat because of the fact that they don't know that they can trust him and trust his word that if you are brought into the Heat, you're going to stay there. So it's a dangerous precedent that's set in that situation, and that's the Exhibit A that I give you when you start being concerned about the future, to your point, about guys coming to Houston.
I would never – and as much as I love this city, mm-hmm. as much as I love the weather, love the tax-free environment, love
– Well, you asked me why would they consider it, and
but
I'm saying
– But I'm going to tell you why they won't consider it is – If I got to look over my shoulder every day at this crook that owns the team, at this crook that's the general manager, at this guy this who manipulates people at all times, I don't want to play for that. If I got to sit there and know that you say you're going to match an offer that I get from another team, in good faith, you say this is what we're going to do. I've already passed my physical here. I'm passed my physical in Brooklyn. And you know I'm going to pass the physical here. If I would have agreed to everything you wanted in the first place, how much you want to bet I would have passed that physical? But all of a sudden now, because I want you to give me the exact deal that was promised to me somewhere else, if you're not going to give it to me, let me go somewhere else.
I think that's the key, because the key is I don't think Demo wants to be here. I think the key is Demo has already said, you know.
And not to cut you off, but I'm cutting you off.
It ruins my flow, but go ahead. Yeah.
But that's exactly what it's like. The Rockets did this just to screw with him, from just the jump. Even from saying we're going to match the offer, they did it just to screw with him. From the time they decided, they said, oh, you know what? Let's match the offer, because he can't go to New Jersey until he gives us the opportunity. He has to come here. He has to do this. But guess what? We're going to fail his physical. We're gonna fail his physical, and we're gonna make him apologize. We're gonna make him be Charles Barkley when Charles Barkley called him. We're gonna make him apologize to us, and basically we're gonna make him apologize in a different way. And they did, and they hurt his pocket.
It's just like playground stuff to me. It's very childish on both sides. The thing that I'll say this is, at the end of the day, both sides had issue with the language.
So don't say you're gonna match my deal if it's not the language.
So yeah, and so there's a lot to be worked out here. Evidently, the sides are still talking, but I know that Demo is hurt. Demo wants this all to be done, but he's also a little bit worried now based on the fact that the word got out and what he put out there. He's worried that, you know, you could be labeled as damaged goods. If you're labeled as damaged goods, any team taking a shot at you, you're going to get a one-year deal instead of a long-term deal. You're going to get an extensive physical, and you're going to have to really prove yourself all over again. That's a tough deal, even if you're a young guy like Demo, because of his health concerns. So it's out there. If you want to talk about it, give us a call. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here at 204 ESPN 975.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
JB Trap J and Quick Nick till 4 o'clock as we roll through talking about what you want to talk about and getting right to you and what's on top of mind. So we've talked Texans. We talked Jeff Fisher getting fired, if you missed it. Head coach of the Rams no more. He's gone. Lane Kiffin has been hired by a school that I believe isn't even close to the caliber of U of H. And I'm not saying that because you're in the studio, Nick, or in the production room. But I will say this. To me, what that says is, was it Florida Atlantic?
Florida Atlantic. Yep.
So
FAU.
With him going to FAU, what that says to me is for Lane Kiffin and his agent putting the rumor out there that he was the leading candidate at U of H and it was a done deal, as negotiators like to do.
Yeah.
But that from a U of H perspective, he was never the finalist, because if you were and you ended up at Florida Atlantic instead of at Houston, that doesn't seem to add up to me.
Oh, it does, because Florida Atlantic is a private school and has a guap of money to also pay him, and they're in Conference USA, which is better than the All-American Conference as far as the teams that are in there. I mean, yeah, they're not U of H's caliber, but Conference USA is a better conference than the American whatever conference
American
it
Athletic.
Is. And not just that, I think it sends a precedence, and it's actually a harder job to take, in my opinion, than the U of H job.
Well, it's a harder job to take, but I thought U of H. I'm surprised at how full of praise everybody has been as to the fact that the U of H job is one of the best jobs in the country and better than a lot of jobs like Purdue and in Power 5 conferences, because of the fact that everything is set up for you to win now, that everybody points the finger at you as being that team that could do it, like kind of like Boise State was about, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I'm taking Purdue job over U of H job every day.
Now, there's a lot of people that would argue.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that argue, but you still have...
A lot of people say Purdue, they're just happy if you win more than you lose, you get to a bowl game.
You get to a bowl game.
And that's it, because they know that they can't compete with Michigan State and Ohio State and Wisconsin and Michigan and
They can if they get the right coach.
Okay.
If they get the right coach. I mean, at one point, yeah, Alabama used to be great when Bear Bryant was there, and all of a sudden, for a while... They went downhill, and nobody wanted to go to Tuscaloosa. Nobody wanted to go to Tuscaloosa.
My wife asked me this weekend. I said, they were down until Saban took that job.
And when Saban took the job, everybody looked at him like crazy. Like, why would you take such a job like that? Why would he take that job? That job is terrible. That job is nothing. He bought back the entire SEC West by taking that job and bringing him into national power. And not just that, I think by Lane.
But Lane Kiffin's the kind of guy, we know he's a puddle jumper, right? And we know he's a bigger, better guy. So, people when he was in the U of H discussion, that was one of the first things that we were talking about, was it was a stepping stone towards another job, because he's got to get into Power 5 and he's got to get a big-time job. Well, he's already screwed himself with the Tennessee and the USC gigs, right? Well, so, he's got a lot to prove. I get that.
USC, they should never fire
him. Florida Atlantic is a job that is going to... Okay, and I need you... Let me put it this way. I need you to explain why Florida Atlantic is a good job for him... And it's going to make everybody else in the country hate the fact that he took it.
Everybody right now in the country is completely, completely upset that he took this job. For the simple fact is, now it's going to close off the state of Florida to everybody. When I tell you, you try to come to the state of Florida if you want to, and you will get nothing. You have Jimbo Fisher. Mm-hmm. You have Jim McElwain. You have Butch Davis at FIU. You now have Lane Kiffin at FAU. You now have Charlie Strong at USF. And you have Scott Frost at UCF. There is no way. There are good coaches at every major university in this state. You are no longer taking players from, and that's what pisses everybody off. Because now you got
it upsets you, them. We don't have to use that other term.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what upsets everybody, because right now you started out with, for the most part, three coaches that were pretty good. You just added three goon coaches that in the recruiting field, they are terrorizers on the recruiting trail. They do not play any games when it comes to going and getting what they want.
Yeah, it's interesting, because Texas is getting close to that same situation, in the fact that how are you going to get people that are going to try and get that are going to get away from the state of Texas when you got Sumlin, who you can say what you want about him as a coach on the field, but he gets the best recruits every year. Yes. Now you got a guy that's a recruiting genius in Tom Herman that did great things at Houston. Now he's at Texas. So he picks up where Charlie had tried to recreate those inroads that Mac lost before he left. Texas, A&M, Houston, already all over the place. And then you mix in a little bit of Kingsbury and Texas Tech into the mix. They're going to try and get involved. They are so distant, right?
Right now, Texas is not even on.
But I'm saying, with
close,
those three schools alone,
they can't keep
the
everybody.
Oklahomas and the Oklahoma States that used to come barging into Texas and getting their pick.
They still going to be able to do it.
You think so?
Of course, because there's not enough scholarships. There's not enough scholarships and not enough places with just three schools. Because Texas Tech is nowhere near.
Is there anybody
near,
else that I'm overlooking? Baylor?
Baylor. I mean, yeah, Baylor can. Baylor,
so Baylor you, now with a new Baylor, coach can
Baylor's,
get in there.
But Baylor's always been in there.
Okay.
Baylor's always been in there. And, I mean, Texas.
But your argument
but you are,
about
Houston,
Florida is also, I think, valid in Texas.
No,
in
the,
in
no.
The, from the standpoint that U of H never used to be a job that anybody worried about in terms of recruiting. But,
U of H
but did, Herman turned them around.
But U of H has always been here. They didn't turn them around. U of H has always been here. When they had Sumlin, they won 10 games. When they had Art Briles, they won 10 games. When they had what's the guy, Tony Levine, they won 9 games. When they fired him, then you got Herman, who comes in here and takes. I mean, he takes you to a bowl game. He makes you somewhat relevant. But to be honest, if you look back at it, can you say Tony Levine actually coached them better than Tom Herman did?
Well, I can tell you one person that I know is happy. At least melancholy, happy about Lane Kiffin taking that job.
Mm-hmm.
That's Nick Saban. Because Nick Saban's got to believe that if he wasn't going to stay at Alabama, then the first job that I think that Nick Saban was scared about was he was going to LSU.
Yeah.
So as long as he didn't go to LSU, go in the SEC where he can come back and bite him and bite the hand that once fed him, then Saban's okay.
Yeah, and not just that. He still got Sark in the cover.
Well, that's the other thing. Sarkisian now, the question becomes, does he go to LSU with Coach O?
That's a possibility.
Or does he take over for Kiffin and become the offense coordinator at Alabama?
I think because of the style of offense, when you think about the way Kiffin runs a more spread offense. Sark is a more pro style offense.
Okay.
So that's the good part about it. I think that's where Saban to try to make sure he keeps those guys. He keeps.
Well, you
Sark
guys were talking about the fact he stockpiles coaching anyway.
Yeah,
that he's
yeah,
got
he
people on campus in maybe non-coaching title jobs waiting to just jump in.
Waiting to jump in. He knows his next coach at each position 3 coaches from now.
And Sarkisian isn't even a coach this year. He's a consultant.
He's a consultant, but he's getting paid like one.
Right.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there and how they replace Kiffin. I would assume that he's going to hang in there through the bowl game, but I don't know. Because it's a head coaching job, they might want to make the change immediately, which might ruffle some continuity feathers in the Alabama offensive scheme of things as they get ready for the Final Four.
And John Fossil's been named the interim coach, too, for the Rams.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Breaking news.
So there you go. So breaking news from Travis Johnson. Some other breaking news. This is the holiday season. We're about 2 weeks away from Christmas. And in doing the Christmassy thing, it's a season of giving. If you want to give and see a huge return by feeling something good in your heart, knowing you did the right thing, please check out Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It is a phenomenal program. And all you have to do is pick up the phone. If you've got a truck, a car, a motorcycle, a boat, or an RV, running or not, just sitting in your driveway or your garage or a storage unit, you've been thinking about selling it, but it's just collecting dust and it's just not doing anybody any good, I got an idea for you. You get in touch with the Cars for Kids program for Houston Can Academy, and here's what you do. You either call 713-225-4226, or you go online, and you get HoustonCarsForKids.com, and you tell them what you got. You tell them what you're trying to do. They do the rest. They come to you. They tow away the vehicle or whatever it is absolutely free of charge. They fill out all the paperwork. They get you a tax-deductible donation, so that means the tax deduction will probably be exactly what you wanted to get out of selling it, the car, vehicle, or whatever it is. And here's where the good part gets better. The deal is done. You're done with it. You wipe your hands of it. You got the vehicle off your premises. But Houston Can's Cars for Kids program then translates that into opportunities for kids that may have messed up in the first chance to get an education and make something of themselves. So they come in and they sell it for scrap, they do whatever they need to do. They churn whatever you've donated into cash for kids. The kids get warm meals. They get reading glasses. They get bus passes. They get everything that they need in terms of the resources provided to them so they can succeed and make something of their life. And that's a huge thing in the Houston community. You're doing a great thing in the holiday season. You're doing a great thing overall for Houston. And you're also helping yourself out by getting rid of something in the process. So again, Houston Cans Cars for Kids program is something for you. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Be sure to mention you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
The trifecta of Houston radio at its finest. It's Joel, it's Trap, it's Nick, till 4, just the way we like it. And we get a rhythm and flow. I was going to mention to you guys, I think I told you guys, and maybe I didn't. I got home from the show last week, and for those of you that don't know, we put my 15-month-old now in daycare. It's like a daycare school, a Montessori school.
Yeah, Montessori school.
Yeah. And we knew immediately, because she hadn't really been around kids and stuff like that, that the building your immune system is also going to mean she's probably going to get sick. Okay, no one told me in the first month that parents were going to bring their kids to school with tonsillitis, strep throat, and laryngitis, in which I got bits and pieces of both, and I'm still fighting the laryngitis part of it off. But she came home with two of the three, and every time we think we got her straight and get her back in school, within a day and a half, she comes back with something else. So first, we get done with the show on Thursday, I think it was. And I get a call on the way home that Taylor's not feeling good. She's got to go home. So Lisa goes and gets her. And we have someone over at the house that's our cleaning lady's over at the house. And she's a really nice lady, and she loves holding the baby. And all of a sudden, I change from work clothes, you know, and I'm like, and Lisa's like, uh-oh. And I'm like, Taylor's making a funny face. And I'm going, what? She goes, oh, she just had a Ritz cracker. Part of it probably just went down a little funny. So I'm thinking everything's cool. I look in there, guys. Now, I know we've all seen our share of horror movies, but I saw like the Amityville horror of throw up come out of her mouth. Like a Nolan Ryan fastball in a fire hose. And the cleaning lady's holding her, and it was like Simon Says Freeze. She does not move. She is absolutely still while like a mile of puke is coming out all over her out of my kid's mouth. And I'm just going, oh, my God. And after having 4 dogs and been through all the cleanups in the world, nothing smells worse
than baby throw
than
up.
Baby throw up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we get her through that. We don't know what that is, but she goes back to school. And the next day, Friday, we get done with the show at Trailer Wheel and Frame. I'm on my way home. And they said, well, now she's got this deal going where when she has it coming out of the other end, it's the same thing. It's coming out like 100 miles an hour, and it's not, and as Dan Patrick would say, the diaper not only can't hold it, it can't even hope to contain it.
When that stuff started exploding, when them exploding dude, diapers, the worst.
Man.
The worst is one of my babies. I can't remember which one of my babies was it. So, I mean, I do have a lot
Sean
of babies.
Camp, yeah, go ahead.
But I remember, I think it might have been Justice.
Okay, we'll go with that.
And he literally exploded through the diaper. But he was like my kids have always been exhibitions. Like, they walk around no shirts on, and just like when he was young, just in his diaper. And he explodes through the diaper, but he's sitting on me. And it literally, I got doo-doo all on my shirt. He done nannied on me.
Oh, so you're feeling
and
it.
And I'm sitting there like, dude, like, okay. I was so upset.
So I feel for the cleaning lady, right? And Lisa's just like horrified and going, can I pay for a dry cleaning? And, you know, and this is terrible. And do you have a change of clothes? And luckily she did. So we spend the weekend, right, getting her right. Thinking she's right. Okay. I get her ready for school. Lisa, by the way, just like me, she's gotten 2/3 of, so she couldn't even go to work at Channel 11 this morning because she's got it. But I get Taylor ready for school. And my wife, normally I call her knows the radar. Like, she knows when this kid has done anything wrong or gotten anything in her diaper or anything, because she can be like, it's time to change. And I'm like, how do you know that? You know, it's like, it's mother's intuition. I go, okay, whatever. So mom's good. I put Taylor in the back seat. I get her tunes going. I'm pulling out the driveway, and I'm all of a sudden, I'm like,
what is that smell?
What is that?
It's in the car seat.
Here's the thing. So then I hear like a little gurgle, and I'm going, well, she's still sick, so it's probably the fact she's congested and it's her nose. So I turn the radio all the way off, and I'm waiting. And she sniffles a little bit, but then I hear the boiler room kind of doing the and I'm like, uh-oh. So I stop the car and I call Lisa and I go, we can't take her to school, because I said, I think, I think she may have done something, and I don't want to take her to school and drop her off and leave that with somebody else. Lisa's like, yeah, you're right. So I pull back in the driveway. I take her out the car seat. I bring her in the house. And the whole time I'm like, yeah, it's getting stronger. I can smell it a little bit. I go to hand her to Lisa.
Yeah.
I have a white pullover on. I go to hand her to Lisa, guys. I now have a off-yellow tan pullover.
Yeah. That's the diarrhea.
And literally, I feel my lungs coming up and my intestines like, this is the most putrid. I thought the puke was bad. Then, as you said, Lisa's like, well, I'll take her. I'll give her a bath. I'll clean her up. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm peeling off the pullover. And I'm like, we got to wash all this. I got to rinse it out. And I go, but wait a minute. The car. And I got to go out to the car.
It's in the car seat.
I go out to the car. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it ain't just buckles, pads. And I'm going, these car seats aren't built just like to be like your clothes. Like you can take them out and wash them. It is in every nook and cranny, and that smell is so awful.
You got to take the whole thing apart and throw it in the washer.
Yeah, I took the whole pad off.
Yeah.
And the whole, I know that the puzzle that I got to put together now when I put that thing back together is worse than the Rubik's Cube trying to do that in 60 seconds. It's going to be a project.
Welcome to parenthood. It won't be the first time. It won't be the last time. It got to the point where Justice, I was so happy he potty trained when he did. Because I told my wife at one point, I said, listen, I'm not changing another diaper in this house ever again.
Oh, I can't get away with that.
Because he would explode and be like, I'm not doing it no more. He's almost a grown man. I'm like, man, he's about to be old enough to vote in a second.
And Taylor's kicking it. Like, she doesn't have a fever. She's just like, and so like 15 minutes later, she's hanging out in her high chair. She's eating Ritz crackers. She's smiling, watching cartoons. And I'm like, I'm still outside, and I'm not sure that I'm going to ever be able to get my nasal passages right again.
Hey, wait till they're sick one day. You put them in a bathtub, and they doodle in the bathtub. Wait till that hits
you.
That's
a floater. Come on.
No, I'm not talking about a solid one. I'm talking about a motorboat. And that sucker fills up everything. It is the worst smell. You sitting there like, and then you got to think about it. You got to put your hand in there
thought I had stomached it all until I experienced kid throw up and kid Duke. And I'm telling you what, I don't wish that on my worst enemy. Wow. Thank God, Nick, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick to dogs.
And Barry likes cats. So there you have it. Wow.
Cats.
Oh, he's a big cat.
Like lions and tigers?
No.
No, just the small domestic house cat. Just the feline bird.
Yep. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
And in a nutshell, we got two in the books and one to go, so we'll reset the show in just a minute. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.